Hey, Bill and Gunn, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today, and how are you going? I hope you're well, and we are cruising through another year very quickly, and it's already May. I guess we're going to be talking about a number of things today, as per usual, and one of them, recently people were celebrating, or not celebrating, the 250th anniversary or milestone of Captain Cook, basically sailing around the place, and discovering for the British what was already here and that the tribes already knew about. So it was, I guess, a point in which version of history you're looking at, and that's what we'll be discussing today. The inside of Australia, the National Indigenous Television, had some recent comments on this, and let's take a look. You'll see that a few of those people are Peter Fitzsimmons, I think his name is, Paul Daly from the Guardian newspaper, and a Professor John Maynard from the Newcastle University. Let's take a quick listen to that.
People talk about, you know, this is not an invasion, this is not an invasion. I'll tell you, the first person to say this was an invasion, that would be Captain Cook.
Cook may not have been Philip who bought the tall ships in and, you know, started the first settlement. He may not have been Macquarie who came after him and after Brisbane and, you know, massacred the mobs at Appin. But he was the guy who set foot on the east coast of Australia and thought it a pretty good place for a penal settlement.
Clearly, when Cook and his crew, which included Solander and Banks, first went ashore at Gamay, there was no welcome mat rolled out for them. You know, two Aboriginal men, an older man and a younger boy, a youth, certainly made it quite clear to those men when they were trying to get ashore that they weren't welcome.
Okay, well, there you have it, Gunyara, and I guess we've sort of covered this before. Whether it was invasion, whether it was settlement, at the end of the day, they can describe it as what they like. It's the version of the truth from the tribe's perspective that is the ultimate first-in-time version.
It sure is. Yeah, look, this question has been settled by Australia, going back now with the Mabo determination, or the Mabo decision. The High Court said it was an act of settlement, not an act of conquest or war or cession or anything else, which is very important to us from a legal point of view. If you want to call it an invasion, was it a war? You know, was it an act of conquest where they'd moved in to conquer the place and take over the laws and crush the Aboriginal laws? The High Court said, no, it wasn't. This was an act of settlement. I'd rather see it as when Cook come here, he actually broke orders. He was told in his orders to, when he come out this way, if he found the place unoccupied, put some marks up and name it in, you know, in honour of the king. He didn't do that. He was also told that if you see the natives, see if you can buy a bit off them or get some country off them to put your marks on, put your flag on. He didn't do that. And it's very well known that even in his journals, the Aboriginal people didn't want him to come ashore. They didn't want him to be an intruder. So he actually broke orders. So that's a very dishonourable position. You're given an order by your hierarchy for a specific reason, and that is to do exactly as you're told. Now, he didn't do as he was told. So he was an intruder. He was actually, in my opinion, in a military position, very, I suppose, he broke orders. And that just can't be sustained in the military.
Well, I mean, look, we can look at it from a military point of view. We could also look at the King James Version of the Bible, which was a British-created document, and he was serving the British Crown at the time, and if that's the book, the greatest book ever afforded to mankind, as the archbishops and many people in the ages of British history have said, then he's broken this rule. And I'll read it. James 2:10. In the Holy Scripture says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. If he's broken his orders, then he's broken all of them. You know, so they can't get around this. This is the problem for this line of argument, let's say, that You can call it invasion. You can call it settlement. You can call it whatever you like. You can call it peaches with cream. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there were crimes, and the transgression of the law is a sinful nature, and they've broken all the laws. And it's also a crime to enjoy unjust enrichment. And this is what we're trying to remind everyone now. Those benefits that everyone has received through the personalities are unjust. There has to be an agreement, and that's what the tribes are now beginning to realize, to say, well, they realized it back then, but now, from our point of view, it has to be done through a formal agreement for that to be settled truly once and for all.
It really does have to be done through a treaty or a formal agreement. Look, let's go back to when Cook stepped ashore. He was told in no uncertain terms he's not welcome anywhere along the whole East Coast where he sailed up and down. So he went back over there and basically told a lie. Yeah, we claimed it all in the name of the king. Yep, it's all yours. We done it. He actually done the wrong thing. He broke orders, told lies. He done everything wrong that he could do wrong. And then they said, "Oh, we'll make a convict prison out of it." So they started to send the convicts out, and they stepped ashore under the presumption that it had all been claimed in the name of the king in the right way, while it hadn't been. And this is where the whole problem lies. The foundation of Australia, of the British colonies, and of the Commonwealth of Australia, is built on quicksand. It is not built on anything substantial or anything concrete. If he would have got some pieces of the land off the Aboriginal people, he would have been okay. If he would have done it properly, as per his orders, it would have been okay. There's no argument today about that. But he didn't do that. So in saying that, we've got to now rebuild the foundation of the Commonwealth of Australia, because it does not have consent to be here yet. The colonies never had consent to be here, and even John Howard said that in one of his public addresses, that the colonies were built without treaty or consent. They were not allowed to be here. Even Senator Seward, in her letter to Malcolm Turnbull, going back a couple of years now, she said the Australians are the intruders. They're not the invaders, they're the intruders. They're the ones, the Australians, not us, they're the ones that are intruding on the Aboriginal people's land and into their laws. Now, this might be very convenient that they call this an invasion. They could start to change the mindset of people. It might be very convenient for Australia. Oh, well, really, it was an act of conquest now. It was an act of war. And we've got to be very careful of this, because if it was an act of war, then they did gain the continent legitimately under laws back then. Up until 1945, nations could conquer someone else's land under conquest and claim it legitimately. But after 1945, you can't do that. 1945, that is, after the Second World War. So they said, yeah, we done this through warfare. That's the very reason why, going back now, 6 years, we wrote off to the Commonwealth of Australia and said, when did you declare war on us, on the tribe? And when, if you declared war, when did you give the ceasefire or when was the date of peace declared? Mm-hmm. And they can't supply any answer to that, because it was an act of settlement, not invasion or conquest.
But even that that rule of gaining territory by conquest pre-1945 is still a European notion. It is a Vatican-backed doctrine of discovery, which is false, and that was because, I'll go out where there's no Christians, you can claim it. Now, if there are true Christians out there and they believe that God is omnipotent and ever-present, then he was here on the Yidinji Territory. To suggest that he wasn't here on the Yidinji Territory is blasphemy and denying the sovereignty of the Creator. So this is what I'm saying. It's all backward and frontward, mishmash. It's all baby talk, if you know what I mean. And so there's a lot of confusion around this particular issue, and it's very, very simple. And that's why we use the Holy Scriptures to... Well, didn't you bring this book here? Isn't this book in your parliament? Isn't this book in your courtroom? Isn't this book in your hotel rooms? We're going to hold you to it now.
It's their grand norm. That's what their society was based on. When the whitefellas come, they actually thought the blackfellas weren't intelligent enough, and that can be reflected in comments made by H.B. Higgins and them back about 1900, that the blackfellas aren't intelligent enough to cast a vote, an intelligent vote. Come on, give us a break. We're not that stupid. But this is what I'm saying. The white supremacist was you know, this is us. We're the brains of the outfit here. And you're right, it's their book. I remember when we went and saw the bishop in the city of Gimoy, or if you want to call it Cairns, he was the bishop of Cairns, went and saw him. And poor bloke, he didn't say, when we went in, he said, look, you're 15 minutes, basically. 2 hours later, because all we said to him, look...
He was confessing to us, wasn't he?
it was funny, he had to in the end. Because we just asked him, where did you get permission to put your church up here? You know, to have the church on the ground. We're not arguing... up to the man about his role here, we're just saying it's all about principles of law. So the land is still owned by the Aboriginal people. Where did they give permission for this other lot to come in and bring in this tenure to let someone else mark out your land, mark the land out and give it to someone else? It doesn't work like that. That's why the poor bishop, he was stuck, because he stands up on the pulpit on a Sunday and saying don't steal, or you know, don't take another man's land. What's their lot done?
I think that's this is where the true spirit of the law comes into effect, because as you're dingy, we say, hey, look, we can forgive you. Let's move forward. Let's wipe it clean. Because that's what the Creator would say, and that's what He did say. You know, love your neighbour. You know, if they need clothing, give them a shirt off your back. That kind of stuff. And most of the tribes are happy to do that. However, this is the sticking point that everyone has to know the truth. And this is why we're doing it also, is because we want to create a better world, but also to let people know the truth. And that is exactly what's transpiring around the planet. There's all these little... inside of Australia, you get all these different kinds of conversations and different versions of the truth. And they'll talk about a voice to Parliament. They can talk about the this, that and the other, constitutional recognition. But at the end of the day, the only ones that can remedy this is the tribal people through their law. And remember, it's not a written law as such. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the Creator, God. And that's, my words are spirit, my words are life. Now, that has to transpire into the written law for these other guys to acknowledge and to read it, because that's what they require. And that's what I'm saying. This isn't an anti-Australian rant or program. Far from it. We want to protect the Commonwealth of Australia. But first and foremost, we want to defend the faith. We want to defend that there's a Creator of this place, and that people should consider acknowledging the sovereignty and the power of the Creator.
Look, before we can remedy anything, we've got to work out what went wrong and where it is wrong. And that's why we've got to go back in history to look, where did Australia go wrong? Australia went wrong with Cook setting foot on the place. You know, he broke orders. That was dishonourable. I would verge, you know, that he had blatant disrespect for his higher officials, you know, than the officers above him, which is a pretty serious offence in military terms. But in saying that, we're not against the human things that walk around. The settlement was, when they come, they brought a system of law into place. There's already a system of law here, and it's still here today. But they brought this other system in that they tried to fit in between, or they tried to take over these other pre-existing systems of law and sovereignty. Their one, the British one, that one is the invader, that's the intruder, that is whatever it is, that system of law. Not the men and women, but that system of law. It hasn't got consent to be here. It does not have consent, period. They know that. We know it. Their federal court determination is saying that the tribes still have systems of law and authority and decision-making and land tenure, and it just goes on and on. Their courts are saying that. That's why we keep saying we'll hold the Mabo determination, that decision there, number two, to be correct. That it was an act of settlement, not an act of conquest or cession. And that's why we still have the sovereignty today. That's why the Uluru Statement from the Heart says that the Aboriginal people had never ceded their lands. Nothing has ever been extinguished. Their sovereignty still exists to this very day. And that's the problem for Australia. How do we remedy that so that all them humans that are holding and being seen legally and politically through the Australian identity, how do they have consent to be on the territories of all the Aboriginal people whose laws are still in place? Because once you have a law in place, someone comes in, intrudes into your territory, there's an old maxim of law that whatever intrudes into your territory is subject to your law and authority. So technically, you know, if the Aboriginal people could build their numbers up, build their police force up enough, they could arrest Australia and its Australian citizens because they are the intruders. Those Australian citizens are subject to the laws and authority of those old ancient systems of law. This is my opinion why Australia needs to keep all the Aboriginal people inside Australia so that never surfaces, that never comes to the top. Because as soon as it does, the Australians are the intruders on the territories of someone else.
Yes, and, you know, if you can't beat them, join them is the motto inside of the Commonwealth. I'm not saying that for everyone, but for certain people, that is the, I guess, the laying down of the tools and saying, okay, I'm going to come and join you now. That has never been always the case, obviously, because people were saying you, with a gun pointed to their head, you go and be a good Australian, or they were butchered or other things. You know, the terrible history of this continent. But look, we could focus on all that, but what we try and do is we point out the error, which is one thing. But to provide the remedy and the cure for the error is another, and that's the step that we're trying to encourage people to do. We know the bad stuff that's happened on this territory because the old people have told us and the history books have told us. However, now it's time to go back to that original capacity, that space, that's your space, and to make the wrong right. And from a paper point of view, that's what can be done. Now, all this talk of invasion, settlement, yep, fair enough. Why is Australia pushing that inside of Australia? Is it to encourage people that it's all over and that conquest was a real means of gaining territory? Or is it to keep the illusion going? One or the other. It has to be either way. Like I said, from a tribal point of view, look, whatever they think is what they think. It's just their thoughts don't have permission to be here yet. As simple as that. Anyway, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. Thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service. If you're listening inside of Australia, it's via the NIRS. We'll be back after the break.
Comes a man, he must do the best he can to live his life and find his childhood dream. I had, but the biggest break I've had was when I found that girl that thought of only me. Thank you for your smile and the love in your eyes, and thank you for a heart that's big and true. Thank you for the many things you are, my love. Let me thank you for just being you.
Let me thank you for just being you.
A few mistakes and put a few feet wrong, and sometimes I feel I want to say forget it. But with my baby by my side, I can swallow foolish pride and stand upright to fight another day. Thank you for your smile in your eyes, and thank you for a heart that's big and true. Thank you for the many things you are, my love. great big world of wars and fear of dying. I wear a smile and not a frown, 'cause I know you'll be around to keep me full of happiness and love. Thank you for your smile and the love that's in your eyes. Thank you for a heart that's big and true. Thank you for the many things you are, my love. Let me thank you for just being you. Let me thank you for just being you. Let me thank you for just being you.
Welcome back to the program, Black Lord Tribal Edition, with Murumu and Ganyara today, and we're hoping you're enjoying the program, because it's all about this information is there for everyone here listening to it. And the good news is that these things will come to pass, and that things will get better. Thanks to the Creator. these things will happen. Now, Ginyara, there's so much evidence inside of Australia that suggests it wasn't an invasion. Now, while there's that people toing and froing, the courts would, people inside of Australia would agree that the courts is the final destination of where you take an argument or you know, you look for a settlement on a particular issue, pardon the pun. And there's no higher court outside of the Australian Parliament than the High Court. And the High Court, what does it say about invasion?
Well, look, the High Court normally handle issues such as constitutional issues, you know, the establishment of Australia. That's one of their primary roles, right at the very top of the tree of what Australia is about. The High Court, if you go and read the Mabo determination or decision, if you go and read that, it may make it very clear in there that it was an act of settlement, that they just moved in this system of law. They didn't conquer the other one. As I said, it wasn't an act of conquest. It wasn't an act of cession. It was settlement. Settlement alone. Now, this was the best minds in the legal fraternity to make this decision. It wasn't just one or two. That was the full bench making this decision. So to hear that really built the foundation on quicksand for Australia. They had nothing after that. And then that's why if you read the first part of the Native Title Act, after this decision had come out, they said the reason they had to write the Native Title Act is the High Court rejected the concept of terra nullius. Well, the concept of terra nullius means that there was no one here. There were people here. They knew there was. And Australia was not founded on terra nullius, but it's the principles of terra nullius that it was sort of used to define that the land was empty, that there was no one here. But the High Court made it very clear that there was people here in the Mabo decision. They made it very clear that it was an act of settlement, that it was not an act of war or an act of cession where the tribes had actually said, look, we'll give you up some of our sovereignty. And that last part there, the cession part, is the answer to Australia's woes at present. It's the only way. But who's got what to cede to who? You see, this is what you've got to ask yourself. Who can remedy this for Australia? And it cannot be Australia. You can't get remedy for this problem inside Australia through recognition, through voice to Parliament, as you said, through anything from inside Australia, because the foundation of Australia is wrong. So whatever is built after that is wrong. So we've got to go back to what this cession really means. They can't use warfare anymore. Settlement does not gain anything other than, as Seward said, we're just the intruders. We're the pain in the neck to them. And if that old system, that old maximum of law comes to play again, whatever is in your territory is subject to your law and authority, then Australia intruding upon the Aboriginal territory is subject to the laws and authority of that Aboriginal nation. So we've got to say, okay, who can do what? We can, the Aboriginal people that is, can give some legitimacy to Australia to be here. Now, they're the only ones who can. You can't get it from the UN, they can't get it from America, they can't get it from China. It's got to come from the Aboriginal people alone in their true and correct capacity, not as Australians, but under their system of law and authority to which they had the territory. It's this one that was pre-1770, this pre-colonial stuff. That law can create identities to give the Commonwealth of Australia some legitimacy to be upon the territory today, and they do it through cession.
Now, even the notion of terra nullius was incorrect, whether you take it for whether there are men on the continent, or tribes, or people, or persons, because there were persons in tribal territory. There were officers. There were ranks. There was hierarchy in the tribal system. Otherwise, there's no order. You know, every man for himself, you can't. There has to be a law system in place. Now, just because it's not written down doesn't mean it's there. It's not there, rather. And just because it's written down doesn't mean it's there either, by the way. It's a very, very funny space we're operating in and talking about. And it requires the utmost of due diligence to understand this, that man's creation is only that. The creator is not a creation. The creator creates. And he who creates owns. So remember that. And all I'm saying is that there are levels of the Yidinji Society that were here and still are here, pre-1770, post-1770, and it's that now which the Australian, the Yidinji government, sorry, is now codifying the laws of the Yidinji government in a written form. It's a description of the law, and but it's not the law, if that makes sense. The same way that a driver's license describes the man or woman, but isn't the man or woman. In the Holy Scriptures, it says, "The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life." So you can give life to that letter if you want, if you believe in it. But remember, they're not the same.
This is the problem. We're all humans, and I like to look at it like this: we're no more better than the kangaroo around us. The kangaroo is made of the same stuff as us: flesh, blood, bone, whatever. We're animals, but we got intelligence. We have intelligence to make this other thing called man-made law. But whose man-made law has the right to be here? And this is what we got to settle the argument: who has the right to be here? Which law? We're all humans on the planet together. Which system of law has the right to be here? And through an act of settlement done incorrectly, because settlement was supposed to take place in a land that was devoid of humans, no one on there, no humans at all, or their intelligence was so low that they never had a system of law. Now, the courts, in their native title determinations, are determining all over Australia that the systems of law are quite complex and complicated, and they're some of the best systems of law that they've seen, better than the European stuff.
And that was at the one in the Northern Territory. I can't remember the particular case, but it didn't get up, but it was, I think, 4-3 vote or something like that.
Yeah, the Blue Mud Bay case, yeah. And that's right. So the Aboriginal people had systems of law that could be recognised by Cook and his crew and everyone else, and by the incoming after that, Macquarie and Phillips and all them, had recognised these systems of law. And that's why the land was not terra nullius. There were systems of law here by the Indigenous people, by the owners of the place. As the Uluru Statement says, the Aboriginal people own the place pursuant to their law, not Australian law. If you want to own the place pursuant to your law, what are you doing inside Australia arguing about Australian law? Now, Australia need a treaty to remedy this problem. And the only way they can get a treaty is from the Aboriginal people offering it to them. Now, we've got to remember, Australia can't take a treaty. It just can't go and make it and give to you, the owners of the place, because you own it all. You have to give something. You have to cede something to the Commonwealth of Australia to let it be here. And you can choose those terms and conditions of what you want to give to Australia to let it be here. But there'll be terms and conditions both ways. You give up something, they've got to do something in return. It's a two-way street. It's not all give, 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 and they do nothing in return. Australia aren't going to get this place for free. They can't take it for free. They can't have it for free. There's got to be terms and conditions attached to the treaty. And this is the part that I think Australia is having trouble with. They want to be the almighty authority here and rule over everyone. But there's certain people they cannot rule over, and that is those people who are subject to the laws that were pre-colonial laws. That's the Indigenous laws. That's the ones who own the place. Those laws, under that system of ownership. That's where Australia has trouble, because I remember very clearly in the case here when the judge said, if you're not one of ours, you're free to go at large, because they could only apply their law over their citizens, their subjects, their persons, their identities.
Yeah, and that, like I said, that's happened a couple of times now with not only Yini, but that character Murumu. And I anyway, we've got to laugh about these things too in a certain way, but it's a very serious business. I can laugh at it because I went through it. But the most important thing to realise is that we don't want anyone to go through that kind of stuff. That's why we're sharing this information. And it's good that the Commonwealth of Australia has acknowledged the Yidinji government and the Yidinji authority and the law that comes with it. Because now they know the situation. It's been very presented in a way that's very clear to them. It's a very peaceful process. So I think that's what we would also encourage, to encourage one another, be of good cheer, and do it the way that the Holy Scriptures will say Jesus would do it. Yeah, no worries. Okay, we'll love your neighbour. But you know, When it's wrong, say it's wrong, but offer a way out. And that's the most important message that we can pass on today.
Well, once you identify a problem, before you start to crash the world around it, you've got to actually have a remedy to go back in place. You've got to have something to fix it with. And that is, here with Australia, we can crash their world around them to say, you don't have consent to be here, you don't have this, you don't have that. They know that. But what's the answer to? What's the answer to the problem? Who's offering anything? And quite obviously, to fix something that is constitutional, it's beyond constitutional, it's the foundation of where the Constitution sits, because it's outside of the Constitution. You've got to have two parties to that. You can't be in Australia and try and fix this problem. The only way you can fix this is from outside. And Australia know this, but they're going to lose some of their almighty authority that they think they have over the place. From a point of view of the Aboriginal people who are under their own laws, pursuant to their own pre-colonial laws, their pre-1770 laws, Australia have no jurisdiction. They have no control over them. It's those people who have control over Australia if they wish to apply it. It's the complete reverse of what it is. So we've got to go back to there, go back to that position, not to enforce the law over Australia, but to cure the problem for the 24.5 million Australians that have a problem about, the identity, not the men and women, the 24.5 million legal identities have a problem being here. And how do we let that be here is through some sort of formal agreement between the tribal identities, the pieces of paper from the tribes, and the pieces of paper from the Commonwealth of Australia.
It's simple. When you go to a foreign country, let's say you're an Australian passport holder, you're going to Japan. When you go to Japan, you enter the gates and they put a sticker or a stamp on your thing to say, yep, you have permission and consent to be here. You can stay here for 90 days. Same thing. The tribe set up its government. Commonwealth of Australia comes along. Yep, no worries. Here's a stamp. You can be here for 1 year. You can be here for 3 years. You can be here for 5 years. But here's our law and here's our terms and conditions of being here. And that's what you set out. This is what a formal agreement or a treaty creating that trust between the two entities, right? That's what this is all about. Yeah, we will trust you for now. Come on. But if you're breaking our law, we're going to let you know. And so that's a very important step. That's how simple this is.
Do you change the law when you go into Japan on an Australian passport? Can you change their law? No, you can't. You see, this is the problem. This is the fundamental problem that people aren't grasping right just yet. They're all worrying about this voice to Parliament. Why did the Aboriginal people want a voice to Parliament when their law is sitting outside Australia that can't be tampered with by Australia? It can only be modified and changed by the people of that society. So what do you want when you want to go into Australia? What do you want to change their law for? Forget about their law. Their law is for Australian citizens, and Australian citizens only. So the two can't mix together. The two can sit side by side as the sovereignties coexist. You know, our sovereignty coexists with that of the Commonwealth of Australia. What we do with inside our sovereignty is separate to what Australia do with theirs. And the two can never mix together. But they can sit side by side, like we sit on a chair side by side. But we can't interfere with each other. So that's what the terms and conditions of the treaty are all about. How do these two separate entities, who can make law and decision, you know, make things that affect their society, how can those two sit together, side by side? Because why should we worry what Australia does inside Australia with its Australian laws and its Australian citizens? We shouldn't. We shouldn't be even wanting to enter into their parliaments. We don't want a voice to Parliament, to their Parliament, because we have a voice to our Parliament. And it's our Parliament, through its Foreign Minister, talks to the Foreign Minister of Australia, who has their own parliament. There's two lots of government. This is the hard part for people to grasp. We want to get a voice inside Australia. Australia is the intruder. The Australia is the one. The Commonwealth of Australia is the one that shouldn't be here yet. We don't want a voice in there. We have a voice in ours, in our parliament. And we should be, if you have a voice in your parliament, you tell your Foreign Minister, tell the Commonwealth of Australia, you don't have consent to be here yet, but here's the treaty to let your citizen and your Commonwealth be here on our territory. This is the nuts and bolts. So when you get your passport out to go to Japan, you have no right to meddle in their legal affairs over there. You're subject to their law when you go there because of a treaty with Australia, but you have no way of changing their law.
And look, when these things transpire, look, as a holder of a Yidinji passport, I'm not going to try and change Japanese law. That would bring a reflection on the Yidinji nation, for example. And I don't want to misrepresent the Yidinji nation or put it into a bad light by doing that. And that's what this is all about. You know, it's about trying to be of good nature and to take those principles of peace and love and all these things wherever you go. And, you know, it's not always going to work out like that, but that's what these man-made courts are all about. I can sort those matters out, you know. So that's what we're saying here is have a think about it anyway. Look, in the once again, I'm going to quote the Holy Scriptures here in the book. I think it's in the book of Corinthians. It says, to gain the Jews, you must act like a Jew. To gain the Gentiles or the Greeks, you must act like one. We're just saying, well, we're just acting like a citizen of the world to tell the citizen of the world that there's this other law here. But we're not using the Australian. We're not acting as an Australian. Some people are, and that's fine too. But you can always go back to this other one. And it's as simple as that. And, you know, there are many actors in the world. And but anyway, we're going to go to a break. After that will be some closing comments. You're listening to Black Hawk Tribal Edition right across the planet.
Inside into my kitchen, and as you feel weary, my heart, you can settle and I will listen to the problems that you find in this world in which we live. I've got time. Tired, your body shaking, with all the thinking that you do. There's a mountain of pain on your shoulder, too much to bear alone. Feel the pain and all the suffering. Oh,
Yes, well, welcome to Blackhaw Tribal Edition. This is the last part of it, I guess, now. But, Ganyara, look, we're sort of talking about the same things that the Commonwealth's been talking about, because they're the ones bringing it up all the time. We've got to keep reminding people, hey, look, that's the same comment dressed up as something different. Just be very careful, you know. Now, inside of Australia, there might be some... The cogs may be turning at the moment to actually prepare the country for a treaty with the tribes that have set up their governments, and that's what one thing we have to take into consideration. And will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Will the real tribal men and women of this land please stand up? And that's what we're saying. There will be Australia is making those moves. It is getting prepared. Maybe in a way that you're not seeing it, maybe in a way that we're not seeing it, but we certainly know that this can't be dodged any further.
Well, let me ask you this. If they're getting organised, maybe they aren't, we don't know. What are you doing on your side to organise yourself? What terms and conditions do you want to see in a treaty? What do you want to cede to Australia? What do you want to keep for your lot? What do you want Australia to do? This is what I'm saying. You've got to start to talk amongst yourselves now. And all the Aboriginal people should be talking at their tribal capacity about what they want to see happen to their territory. We can't talk for anyone else's country, and no one else can talk for our country. This is what it's all about. We sort of got it now. We've got it sort of nutted out. What would be the best for the tribe? And I mean not just in dollar terms, but this has got to go on for generations and generations. This has got to go on, you could say, forever. So we've got to work out now what we want, how we want to see our country looked after, how we want to see it protected, how we want to see our people advanced, you know, how we want to see our people enjoy the benefits, the fruits of their country. So everyone's got to think about this now. If Australia, they'll come to the table and say, yep, we're ready for a treaty. What's everyone going to do? Jump up and say, yep, okay, hip, hip, hooray, we're here, we'll give you our country, and all of a sudden we realise we've made a mistake. What are you doing about your country now? What do you want to give up? What part of it do you want to cede to Australia? What authority? Do you want to give the whole lot, some? Do you want to give it to Australia? Think about it logically now. And this is where the people need to talk. But they're all too busy being Australians, you know, trying to earn a buck there and get a new Toyota or whatever. But think about what you're giving up. You're going to have to one day. We've got to settle this matter sooner or later.
Yeah, it has to be done. And you know what? The treasures are not on this earth. There are lots of things that are wonderful and beautiful here because God created them. But at the end of the day, we can't take it with us to the next place that, you know, where we're going. And that's I'll go one further. Where do you want to go when you die? Apart from the cemetery. You know what I mean? So that's the bigger question now. But it's also connected to, obviously, sovereignty and all those types of things. But, Ganyara, look, dare I say that this is going to be happening. And, look, the virus has come at a very timely moment in history because, you know, the 250th anniversary of Cook's reenactment and all that kind of stuff, it hasn't taken place. Some people were probably jumping up and down about that. I wasn't too concerned about it, to be honest, because it's just reinforcing the history that that tells us that it didn't have permission to be here in the first place. And we don't want it. We can't change history, fair enough. But we can certainly make a better future, and that's what the Yidinji Nation is all about. So thank you very much to those elders, Jarnala Yidinji, the Tribal Council of Elders, the members of the Privy Council, the members of the Yidinji Society, and all the different societies that make up the Yidinji Territory. And we say thank you very much for your ongoing wisdom and patience and long-suffering. But soon... things will come, and the Creator is looking after us every day of our lives. But Ganyara, thanks for joining us again, and you take care and safe trip back home.
No worries. Thanks, Garrett.
May God's peace be upon you through His only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, that is Jesus Christ the Messiah. We'll catch you next week. Take care and God bless.
time. The weapon is the mind, it's the ladder gotta climb to reach the good time singing. Knowledge is power, a power is everything. If you're getting all the knowledge, that will power you bring. Swinging from the deep to deep, let me pin on the fringe with tame. Hey brother Slim, rolling with the chin in your hand now. So come and sit down now and pass it around now. I'm a poet. I seen another start an earthquake by the way that she moves and shakes. She broke the Richter scale, but she didn't break a nail. Went down like hell, but she moves like an ocean. Start a commotion, watch her spit a love potion. 60 for emotion, now all eyes on her every motion. Watch her bounce, bounce, bounce it up and down. She really knows how to move it right around. She keep it just a bloody moving it now.
Cracking it down for a while.
Keep it just a moving it now. While her face and her rest, a pump through his chest, never would let these cheeks move the best. From the east to the west, in a trailer, we led that deepest. We led that deepest.
La 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 la.
The rappers get down, I just scribble it down. Like my homie Harbor Bobby from the other side of town. From the other side of town, AJB, blazing trees. CDC buried behind the scenes. And Texas taking Billy Coke, not the top.
Me and my love, my dear love. Lift it up.